2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I want to read just a few verses tonight, and I'm going to give you a simple little thought. I'll not be long before you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 6. The Apostle Paul writing here, of course, to the Corinthians, and starting in verse number 6, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh." Verse 15, please. "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are seen are not seen are eternal." Father, we thank you tonight for the reading of your word, and I pray, God, as I stand in this place, that you would touch me, Lord, tonight, that I might be able to deliver the message, God, that you've impressed upon our heart tonight. Father, we thank you for the good singing, Lord, the good spirit of God that we've had manifested here in our presence. And Lord, I pray now that you'd speak to our hearts through your word. Lord, help us to receive and have receptive hearts unto your word tonight. And God, we'll give you praise for all you do. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray and we ask it. Amen and amen. Here in the word of God, a very familiar passage of scripture, as the Apostle Paul begins writing concerning us as the children of God, he begins to detail the many different things that we will go through in the Christian life and the Christian journey. Contrary to what some of those fellows on TV say, the Christian journey is not always mountaintops, and it's not always sunshine and roses. There is a difficulty to the journey of the Christian experience. And as I begin to think about it, Paul began to write some things. He said, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. And he said, we are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. I was reading what one writer said about the Christian experience. He said, the supreme characteristic of the Christian is not that he does not fall, but that every time he falls, he rises again. It is not that he is never beaten, but he is never ultimately defeated. He may lose a battle, but he knows in the end he can never lose the campaign. Hallelujah to his name. I begin to think about, I really want to look at verse number 19 tonight, verse number 18 rather, for the thought for the message tonight. And Paul makes this statement, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." I begin to think about that thought one day. I've got a preacher friend, and he was telling me he had a friend, a man of God that was a friend of his that was a blind man. And he was sharing experiences of being with this blind man. And he said, as I would take him, he said, if I would go over to his house, said he had no difficulty in his house. Matter of fact, you wouldn't even know he was blind, because he would move about freely in his own home. He knew everything and knew where everything was at. And said, if you didn't know he was blind, you wouldn't know it by watching him move around his home. But he said, when I would take him somewhere else, he said, this is what I would always do. He said, when we would walk into the room, wherever we were at, I would begin to describe the room room to him. I would tell him, I would say, there's a chair sitting on the left, or there's a sofa on the right, there's a lamp in front of you, or there maybe is a picture on the wall. He said, I would do my best to paint a picture in this man's mind of the room that he had walked into. And in other words, he was helping this man see what he couldn't see. I begin to think about that. Paul said, while we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. I want to preach on this subject tonight, if I might, for just a few minutes, on a life spent looking at what you can't see. I don't know if you've ever thought about it or not, but every one of us that are truly born again and saved by the grace of God, we're spending our life looking at something that we can't see. I begin to think about, Paul said, the temporal things. We see those things here. Matter of fact, every one of you have no trouble looking around, seeing the trouble and the heartache and the strife and all the things we see in this realm. But can I say to you that the charge for us as the child of God is not to look at the things that are seen, but to keep our eyes on the things that are not seen. Amen. I begin to think about that. As you say, preacher, what is it about living a life looking at what you can't see? First of all, it will be a life that will have a course charted that will be curious to this world. Have you ever thought about why the worldly folk look at y'all so strange? Now, I don't know. I know I'm not the only one that to look at odd. But I'll tell you, there's sometimes in this world I don't fit in. They look at me like I've lost my mind, because the course that I'm charted on is one that was charted because I've been looking at what I can't see. You see, they're looking at the temporal, and they say, well, you ought to chart the course of your life like this, and you ought to go this direction in the temporal. You ought to do this in the seen realm. But you see, all the while, my whole motivation in life now is charting a course looking at what I can't see. Hallelujah. You see, I'm looking at another land. This is not my home. I'm looking at another place that's been prepared. Hallelujah. Some of y'all worried about your place now, and y'all too. Don't take good care of it. But can I say to you, praise God, one of these days somebody else can have my yard. One of these days somebody else can have my house, because I'm looking at a land that I can't see tonight. Hallelujah. I thank God. I thought about old brother, the preacher that said he described it to his friend. Well, you see, the Holy Ghost introduced me to some rooms that I've never seen. Hallelujah. When the Holy Ghost began to tell me about streets of gold, I've never seen them, but I've been looking at them ever since he told me about them. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Pray. Some of you never seen a gate of pearl, but the Holy Ghost has done told you about it, and you've got your eyes on those gates. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but a life spent looking at what you can't see is a course that's curious to this world. Some of them wondering why y'all down here tonight. There's plenty of good television shows on tonight. And y'all decided to clean up and come to the house of God. They said, that's the oddest bunch I ever seen in my life. They've worked all day. Some of them tired, need to be at home in the recliner. But here they are down there in the parking lots full of Bethel Baptist Church. You know what the problem is? You've been looking at something you can't see. And they don't understand that. Hallelujah. I'll tell you one thing right now. Aren't you glad for the course that God's charted for your life? Hallelujah. Folks don't understand you, man. They don't. I had a fella used to live. He lived across the street from us. This old fella, he went to the Church of Christ. I'll not say anything else about that right there. But anyway, he stayed out in his front yard all the time, on the telephone, smoking cigarettes. And to look right across where we lived over there. And I'd get down there sometimes. I didn't pay no attention to him, but I'd get down there sometimes to pray, and I'd forget that anybody was around. And I'd pray loud enough, I guess he heard me plenty of times. And he got to talking to some of the neighbors, and he said, I hear that fellow over there. So he's over there practicing his sermons. Well, I will confess, I need some practice on my sermons. I do need some practice. But you see, the reason that was so curious to him, see, I've been looking at what he can't see. Hey, let me tell you something right now. This world is not our home. We are a peculiar people. Amen. I tell you, you look at some of these little old saints of God, and man, they just walk to the beat of a different drummer. You know why? Because they've spent their life looking at what you can't see. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. It'll chart a course that's curious to this world. Number two, a life spent looking at what you can't see will be filled with conflict and struggle. Can I say to you tonight that sometimes the greatest Christians I've ever seen in life have been people who have suffered greatly in this life? I've got a member right now. I've got, matter of fact, a husband and wife member. They are both in their 60s. And both of them have cancer right now. The husband is in the Johnson City Medical Center right now. They've done a biopsy. They think it may be incurable. They think there may be no chance of doing anything to stop it. His little wife, she's been battling for a whole year now. She's just now getting her hair back where she's getting it back. She was at the house of God yesterday. He's in the hospital. We took up our building fund offering yesterday, and he sent his tithes and his building fund offering from a hospital bed. And the world look at him and say, what in the world's wrong with that man? What in the world's wrong with him? Well, the problem is he's looking at what you can't see. You see, in this realm, he sees cancer. In this realm, they see heartache. In this realm, they see struggle. But hallelujah, where he's looking, he sees a new body, praise God. Where he's looking, he sees a better day, hallelujah. I don't know about you. You may have your eyes on some temporal thing tonight that's got you dragged down. But hallelujah, if you'll get your eyes on what you can't see, hallelujah, he'll help you tonight, amen. I went down to see him, and I left encouraged. You wouldn't think there's nothing wrong with him. Sitting there in the hospital, and praise God, he was laughing and joking with me. He said, preacher, it's all under control. God's in control. When his little wife got cancer, and we found out, they're odd people because they've been looking at what you can't see. I mean, I didn't even know she had cancer. She already had surgery before they let anybody know it. Didn't even let the preacher know it. It wasn't because they didn't like me. They said, you got bigger fish to fry, preacher. It's what they said. Now, that's odd people right there. Because I got some over there when they get a hangnail. They want me and all the deacons to show up to pet them when they get it. And they said, and I said, well, listen, she's had surgery. Let us bring some meals to the house. Oh, no, preacher. We got it covered. Said she done prepared meals for about 3 months. We got them in the freezer. All I got to do is pop them in the oven. She's already got it prepared, already thought ahead. They've been looking at what you can't see. You see, they're odd. They're strange. Oh, let me tell you something right now. This world, let me tell you, now I'm not, listen. If you, listen, I think the church ought to try to help folks when they're down and out. I mean, that's part of our duty. But I'm telling you about, praise God, every now and then it's good and refreshing to see somebody that says, hallelujah, preacher, whether he cures me or not, I'm a winner either way, hallelujah. I'm just going to praise him. I'm going to live my life looking at what I can't see. Do you realize when you're living a life looking at what you can't see, it's going to be a constant battle? Have you ever figured this out? Why is it that you're trying your best to serve the Lord? And when you do that, the harder you try to serve him, the harder hell fights you. Can I say to you tonight, every one of you that's looking at what you can't see, you've got a bullseye on your back. The devil ain't going to fight that crowd that don't come to church half the time. The devil ain't going to fight that crowd that don't ever get in the service. The devil ain't going to fight that crowd that's not doing anything for God. But if you're here tonight and your heart's set on him, and your eyes are set on what you can't see, you better look out. It's going to be a battle. It's going to be a struggle. But hallelujah, it's worth it. Hallelujah to his name. I mean, they should have told me every now and then, matter of fact, we've had two surrender call to preach there at the church. And when they stand up and say that, I just want to grab them and cry. Tears of joy, but tears of a burden, because I know the battles that come with it, Brother Darren. Let me tell you something right now, but I'm glad I've spent a life looking at what I can't see.
When I get in the thick of the fight, Brother Triffitt, when the devil says, I've got you and you're going down for the count. See, he forgot one thing. I'm looking at what I can't see. Hallelujah. I'm glad every now and then when the hounds of hell surround me and it seems like I'm going under for the last time, I'm glad there's reinforcements from another world, hallelujah, that'll help me in the midst of my battle, in the midst of my struggle, hallelujah. I don't know about you tonight. We ought to get our eyes tonight on what we can't see, hallelujah, hallelujah to his name. Oh, it's a life spent in a curious course. It's a life spent. Oh, it's a life spent with conflict and battle. And it's a life spent consumed with what we're carrying. What are you talking about, preacher? Paul said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Here, while back at the house, me and my wife at the foot of our bed, she's got one of these wooden chests. Some of you old ladies got them, you know, she keeps quilts and stuff in it. And we got a little 2-year-old grandson, little Landry. He's just 2 years old, and he's done watched all them cartoons, and he's learned words that I didn't even know that he knew. And one day I walked in the bedroom, and he followed me, a little fellow, 2 years old. And when he looked at that chest, he said, well, my name, he calls me G Daddy. I sound like one of them rappers. I'm thinking about getting me one of them tags for the front of my car that says G-Daddy. Get me some bling to wear a little bit. G-Daddy. A little fella, 2 years old, stopped and in amazement, he looked and said, G-Daddy, it's a treasure. He saw that chest. And on the little cartoon, they'd found a treasure chest. And he just knew that we'd done struck the mother lode in the bedroom. I mean, he done thought, man, we have got it made. We found a treasure chest in the bedroom. And I had to break the news to him, no, honey, there ain't nothing in there but quilts and blankets and stuff like that. But the thing about it is, have you ever thought about the treasure that's inside you? Now, don't let this chest that's carrying it fool you. It's only made out of clay. It's earthen vessels. But hallelujah, what's on the inside of me has been eating me up and consuming me because I got my eyes on what I can't see. My whole life's about Jesus. Everywhere it goes about Jesus. Everybody I talk to, it's about Jesus. I don't know about you. Thank God for a life spent looking at what you can't see. Hallelujah to his name. I mean, I'm a strange character. I admit it. I go to the grocery store and the girl hands me change. I'll say, Amen. Thank God for that right there. Somebody say, would you like fries with that? Praise the Lord, yes. Go ahead and give me the fries. I mean, I talk Bible language everywhere I go, man. I can't help it. I mean, and you know, I was in a meeting here in I was in West Virginia about a month ago, and I was up there and preaching at the Big Bottom Baptist Church. A lot of jokes could be made about that name. I don't know what them people were thinking when they named that church. I do not know. But anyway, we'll not even go there. But I was up there, and I was going down this little road, and there's this little hole-in-the-wall store there. And an old fella, I went in there to get me a bottle of water, a pack of cough drops. I'm thinking about buying stock in Hall's Cough Drop Company because I'm telling you, as many as I buy, I know the stock has to go through the roof. But anyway, I stopped to get some, and I was checking out the register. And there was an old fella standing there, and he was, you could tell he's one of the local hangout guys that just talked. And, I mean, he was talking to the lady behind the register, and I was just checking out, and all of a sudden, I hear him say this. My, I wish I could run around this time of day wearing a nice pretty suit and a necktie. And I just stopped and I thought, that guy's talking about me. And I turned around and I looked and I said, well, maybe you could if you were a preacher headed to revival meeting to preach. He said, oh, you're a preacher. I said, yes, sir, I am. And he said, well, maybe my wife should have married a preacher. I said, I can't speak to that. I don't know anything about that. But I said, and about that time the lady asked me, where are you preaching? I said, right down the road down here at the Big Bottom Baptist Church. And the man piped up. He said, oh, he said, my wife goes there. I looked at him. I said, well, maybe you ought to join her this week. He started it. He had no idea who he was dealing with. This man had no idea. I talked a minute. I said, I'd love to see you. I started to walk off, and then he had to interject one more thing. He said, well, you know, he said, I didn't even think they spoke English in Tennessee. I turned around quick as a whistle, and I looked at him and said, well, I'm kind of surprised to see you wearing shoes, too. The lady behind the register said, game, set, match. You win. Can I say to you tonight, praise God, when you're looking at what you can't see, it don't matter what the subject is, somehow or another you'll get back to the house of God. You'll get back to Jesus, praise God. It's a course, hallelujah, consumed with what you're carrying. What's on the inside of you ain't just turning you upside down. You probably need to get something on the inside of you. You say, preacher, what is it about living a life that and looking at the things you cannot see? I begin to think about that. Number one, you'll get a spiritual, supernatural perception. What do you mean by that, preacher? We were over at the church a couple of years ago in our Jubilee, and we had a young preacher there. He was blind. Somebody had brought him. He was originally from down in North Carolina somewhere, and he was going to Louisiana to school. But he was there, and we found out he could sing really good, and we asked him to sing one morning. Brother Alan Yates, Brother Alan will be here tomorrow night, I believe, was there, and he said, if you got somebody, can play for me. And I said, sure, Brother Alan can. I told Brother Alan to go to the piano, and the blind boy stood up there, and he said, give me the key of F. Brother Alan hit the key of F on the piano, and the blind boy just stood there. He didn't begin to sing. He didn't do anything. He looked over, and he said, key of F. Brother Alan said, that's what I'm hitting. Key of F. He said, no, that's not F. Brother Allen said, yes, it is. I didn't know what was wrong. I said, what? He said, key of F. He said, that's not it. And then what we recognized and realized was our piano is one of those electronic pianos. It's got a feature on it called key transpose, so that if you can't play in a certain key, if you play good in F and the key is a song you needed to sing it in B flat, you can just transpose it to B flat, but yet play it in F. And my wife had played a song like that and had forgotten to take the key transpose off. Brother Allen was actually hitting the F chord, but that wasn't what was coming out, and the blind boy knew it. Because his senses were so tuned in to hearing and so sensitive to what he was hearing. Can I say to you, praise God, when you spend your life looking at what you can't see, you've got a supernatural perception that this world don't have. When they turn on the news at night and they say, well, North Korea's shooting rockets this way and Iran's are doing this and Iraq and all this and that and Afghanistan, and all the while there's a perception inside you says it ain't about none of them, it's about the one coming that I've been looking for. Hallelujah. It ain't about them fellas, praise God. They're nothing more than pawns on God's chess set. Hallelujah. I'm glad, praise God, it's soon going to be checkmate and we're out of here. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I thank God that he, let me tell you something right now, that's why I can lay down tonight and sleep like a baby when they say that North Korea's aimed a rocket at us. Amen. Because let me tell you something, I'm not a looking at Kim Jong-un or Kim Jong-il. I'm a looking at something I can't see. Hallelujah. And I know he's got it all under his control. Hallelujah to his name. Oh, it'll develop a supernatural perception in your life. It'll give you a patience that is stabilizing in your life when you're looking at what you can't see. Have you ever went into a dark room, no light whatsoever? When you do that, you don't usually run into that room. You proceed with caution. You're patient.
about going through that room, because if you like at my house, sure as the world, your wife's done moved the furniture on you. That's my pet peeve. I mean, out of the blue. Out of the blue, without any warning. I mean, I'll be going to a meeting and I'll come in, the house will be dark, I'll flip on the lights and I'll say, what in the world happened here? I mean, where's my chair? And women don't understand that. They don't understand that you're out of your comfort zone when they move your chair. I mean, I need a nerve pill when that happens. I need something to help me. I said, that's my chair. I mean, I was just getting good and comfortable in it there, and you done moved it on me. But you don't run in there in the dark, because they may have moved it, and you're liable to cripple yourself over something. Amen. You got to go in with patience. Can I say a life spent looking at what you can't see will give you a stabilizing patience as you walk through this dark world? Most of the time we ain't running. We're walking, though. And we're looking toward that we can't see. I don't know about you, but I'm glad the Apostle Paul said, while we look at not at the things that are seen, but he said, we look at the things that are not seen. Aren't you glad, praise God, tonight that God gave you a glimpse of what you can't see? Plenty of you tonight, you came in here, there's a lot of things you can see that's really bringing you heartache, bringing you anxiety and worry. Listen, that's natural. All of us carry those. But can I say, God gives you meetings like this to refocus your eyes on them things that you can't see. So I say, preacher, if you can see my bank account, I understand. Sometimes that'll bring you great anxiety. But he might want to get your eyes on what you can't see tonight. Because the bank of heaven ain't having a problem. They're not like Cyprus. They've not had to shut down, afraid people's going to overdraw. They ain't have to worry about that in heaven. Because let me tell you something right now. If I look at what little I got here, sometimes it'll worry me to death. But praise God, I got my eyes on what I can't see. Because I know I serve a God that said that he'd supply all of my need according to his riches in glory. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, praise God. This faith thing ain't always easy. But when you got more bills than you do money at the end of the month, this faith thing ain't hard, easy. But praise God, get your eyes on what you can't see. And I'm glad he'll help us tonight. Let's bow our head tonight. Every head bowed, you've got the message. I want to ask you tonight. You're here tonight and you've come on this first night of meeting. I tell you, God may be challenging all of us. I thought about, tonight as we got here at the meeting, I always wrestle on what to preach on the first night of a meeting. Got in here tonight, got to talking about the things, and Brother Darren even mentioned some things in the prayer room, talking about those things that we can't see, that we need to get our eyes on some of those things. And I thought how God was setting up this service tonight for the message. And I want to ask you tonight as we stand to our feet, and I get somebody to come, get a song, a play, if you will, young man, get a song to play for the invitation. I don't know what your burden might be. You may just need revival tonight. You may just need God to help you. It might be you need to come and just say, God, help me get my eyes on that I can't see. Lord, all this stuff I can see is causing me a lot of heartache, causing me a lot of grief, causing me a lot of struggle. But I want to get my eyes on that I can't see tonight. I want to get my eyes on a better land. I want to get my eyes on that place that's been prepared. I want to get my eyes on that supply that he has. I want to get my eyes on, I want to get focused. I want that spiritual perception. I want to be able to understand the times and the seasons. I want to understand what God has for me. Preacher, I want God to help me. How many more tonight? Say, preacher, I want to come and gather here. This altar's almost filled tonight. I wonder how many, anybody else tonight? You might be here and you've just got a burden on your heart for somebody. You might be here and need the Lord. If you need the Lord tonight and you need to be saved, boy, tonight it'd be a good night to come and get your eyes on that you can't see. Oh, I wonder tonight, anybody else? That's right. Just keep on coming. God, speak in your heart. Just come and bring that burden to him. Lay it at his feet tonight. I'm glad he'll help you. Oh, I'm glad he'll help you tonight. Get your eyes on that you can't see tonight. Oh, Jesus is waiting on us. He's looking for us. He wants to help us this week. I wonder how many more. Anybody else? Oh, yes.
I wonder if there's somebody back in the pews and you say, "Preacher, I haven't come tonight, but I've got a burden on my heart. I've got a need in my life. Would you pray for me?" Anybody like that? Lift your hand. Take it right back down. I see that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. I see that. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. You can take it down. God bless you. Thank you. Anyone else tonight? Say, "Preacher, I need prayer." God bless you. Thank you. I see that. Thank you. Anyone else tonight? Anyone else? Waiting just a moment. Waiting just a moment. Father, we thank you tonight for what you've done here in this meeting. Thank you for how you've helped us. Thank you for the good liberty you've given us, God, in this place. Lord, I praise your name for, Lord, living a life looking at the things that we can't see. Father, I thank you for the people of God. Our course may be curious to this world. Lord, our actions and our demeanor may puzzle this world. But Father, I'm glad that one day I got my eyes on that I can't see. Father, I was like Abraham. I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker's God. Looking for a city with foundations, Lord, not made by hands. Father, I thank you tonight for this people that's gathered here. Lord, you know every need. Lord, if there's somebody here that needs to be saved, I pray would you do that tonight in this service. Father, if there's someone here that's overloaded with worries and cares of this life, Father, maybe burdens that are too big for them to handle, God, would you help them to get a glimpse of that they can't see tonight? Lord, help them to see the unseen realm. God, how you want to work in their life and how you want to help in their life. God, I pray, would you continue to bless in this place? Father, we thank you for what you've done. Lord, as these pray here tonight, meet every need. Lord, I pray, stir us, revive us, refresh us, encourage us. God, we pray. God, we give you praise for all you do. Lord, help us tonight now. Oh, praise his name. Oh, thank God. Yes, Lord. Oh, God. Yes, Lord. Praise God. You pray as long as you need to pray tonight. Oh, just take your time. Do business with God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Preacher, you come up here. I know you want to. Praise God.
You see this one right here? It's Mr. Connor. Connor, come down here. Tell him what the Lord did for you, Connor.
He saved me.